He can wield the hammer, he can keep the Mind Stone. It's safe with the Vision. And these days, safe is in short supply. So your geek history lesson on the Vision is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Robotic Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we look at one character, one team, one robotic factory and dissect them in a little bit less than an hour, sometimes more than an hour. Don't hold us to that. It's still a great podcast. Welcome!
Welcome!
We're talking about, I think I have something in my eye. It could be obstructing my vision. That's what we're talking about today?
Yes, that was a long road.
It's been a long road getting from there to here.
And we are talking about The Vision today, obviously tying into WandaVision, about to launch onto Disney Plus if you are listening to this at the time it is released. And this episode comes highly requested. We have a bunch of TAs this episode, including Alexis N. Bowen, Andrea Stiegler, Jacob Gunther, Elliot Troy, at Prisma 8SLG, Eric Azana, at Shunts Diatome, Joel the Geek, Geeks with Shield podcast, Ben Walters, Robert Sussman, Adam Wolf, Nicholas Baldwin, Winston Andrus, Aaron Navis, Mark Mofield, at Austin 3000 underscore, at Thundercat 77, and at King underscore Hermes 89, all requesting the Vision.
That's a lot of, I would check those humans out for robot parts. That's a lot of people that want to talk about a robot.
It is. Not a robot, an android. More on that later.
Are you going to tell us the difference?
I am.
Oh, this is a good geek history lesson, everybody.
Before we get into all of that, though, we're going to pause and we're going to talk about some superheroes created by ours truly, Mr. Jason Inman, coming to Kickstarter.
That's right. Well, it's not coming to Kickstarter.
It's on Kickstarter
right now. My new Kickstarter comic book, Super Best Friend Number One. It's a superhero adventure by myself with art by George Kambadias. And it's basically, if you were the best friend of the world's greatest superhero, wouldn't you live stream his adventure too? His every adventure, excuse me. It's a 48-page comic book original about my character, Maddie Moore, the best friend of the world's greatest superhero, who live streams all the adventures of his friend, Captain Terrific. And fun fact, Captain Terrific is a character I created back in 2006, and this has been a book that has been a long time in the making, and we want to make sure that all of the Geek History Lesson listeners go over there and support the book. There's a lot of great prizes over there, not really prizes, but rewards, mm-hmm. and there's variant covers, and there's even an ability to buy an ad on Geek History Lesson. You could advertise your podcast, you could advertise your comic book, you could advertise your blog, you could just advertise your school soccer team, whatever you want to advertise, we would give it to you on Geek History Lesson, and that's part of supporting the book Super Best Friend. So go over to superbestfriendcomic.com. If you don't like URLs, I posted it all over my Twitter at twitter.com/Jawin, or just go to Kickstarter, search Super Best Friend, or search my name, Jason Inman, but superbestfriendcomic.com. The comic is very important. We'll take you directly to the Kickstarter, and if every listener of Geek History Lesson donated $1, we'd fund in seconds. It would easily go over the goal. So that's how easy it is. And there's lots of different tiers, and even sharing the project makes a big difference. So if you see me tweeting about it, retweeting about it, just hit a retweet, hit a like. It makes a huge difference as well. Superbestfriendcomic.com.
Alrighty, so let's move on to the first part of the podcast.
The 10 cent origin. I'm sorry, there's no 10 cent tier on Super Best Friend, but we're working on it. We're working on it. Kickstarter has rules.
Processing fee would null and void that.
But there is a 10 cent tier of Geek History Lesson, and it's the 10 cent origin where Miss Ashley, Professor Ashley, is going to, would it be Miss Professor Ashley or Professor Miss Ashley?
I don't know.
Miss Professor Ashley will teach you everything, the Cliff Notes version, everything you need to know about the Vision. In case you go to a cocktail party at Avengers Mash and Jarvis walks up to you and goes, "Dear Lord, do you know this robot lad?" And you're like, "Yes, I do, because I listened to Geek History Lesson."
So there is a Golden Age Timely Comics character named The Vision, but that is not the one that we are talking about. We are talking about the android. And really quick, I am going to make a lot of robot jokes, but Vision is specifically an android, and an android, or a synthezoid as he is originally described, is different from a robot. A robot is just a machine. Your toaster's a robot. Your toilet's a robot. It's not really a robot.
Your toilet's not a robot.
Your toilet's a robot. If you're Japanese, your toilet's a robot.
Well, if you have
please
one of...
Please send us one, of, Jason, and I would love one of them.
You have a robot toilet. Yes, then that's a robot toilet.
Your phone is a robot, but an Android is specifically a synthetic humanoid or a synthetic organism. So Data's an Android. Bender is an Android. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going with.
So a machine that looks human.
Yes,
is
with
an
the with the goal of achieving sentience and by all intents and purposes, life.
Oh, so. Is that the qualifier? It can only be considered an Android if it wants to gain sentience.
Well, or if the point of it is that
to be
is
more human.
Sentient, yeah.
So it's like Pinocchio,
so we've
the robot.
So we actually really like had no androids, I guess, technically yet. At not, the time of this recording.
Not in the real world.
Yeah. But so that's
the I don't think that Honda robot wants to be human.
No.
He just likes to dance.
So that's the dictionary definition, I guess.
But if he wants to become more human, that's when you break out the hammer, everybody.
Yeah.
That's where you take down Skynet.
We're gonna call him a robot, but just so everyone has a full understanding of what those words actually mean.
But Vision is an Android, but you will call him a robot just for
yes,
purposes.
Vision is an Android. He is a Marvel Comics character. He is also known as Victor Shade. As previously mentioned, he is an Android and was originally created by Rob Thomas, Stan Lee, and Sal Buscema, and first appeared in The Avengers number 57, published in October of 1968. And his team affiliations include Scarlet Witch, Avengers, West Coast Avengers, Avengers AI, The Defenders, The Mighty Avengers, and The New Avengers. And his abilities include superhuman agility, intelligence, strength, and speed, flight, density control, intangibility, regeneration, solar energy projection, and technopathy. And he has been portrayed by Sean McDonald in Next Avengers, Heroes of Tomorrow, Peter Jessup in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and perhaps most famously by Paul Bettany in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that is your 10-cent origin on The Vision.
And next we move into the meet cute, and that is where Ashley and I are going to talk about where we first meeted and cuted said characters. Now, Ashley, I'm very curious about this. Where did you first meet The Vision?
So Vision is a Marvel comic staple that I have known about for a long time. But the place where I first fell in love with him as a character and got really interested in him was reading Bendis's New Avengers run and the Young Avengers story.
Where they rebuild him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I've gone back and read some of his previous outings. I think Buzik does some really interesting stuff with him.
He's a hologram for a lot of it. Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. We even have some really old geek history lessons where we went and read some stories that involved him. So Vision has just become a character that I'm really, really interested in. And until recently, I kind of thought was underserved. But I'm glad that he's got all these cool stories now. But yeah, for me, he's a character that I only became interested in as an adult person. And that's because I was mostly an X-Men Marvel reader for a really long time.
I'm going to say this. You brought this up a little bit earlier. His Young Avengers costume, I think, is one of his best costumes.
I agree.
It's a really good design.
Where did you first meet and cute the Vision?
Okay. I first met the Vision at Walmart. Now, this is going to, at the local Walmart that I used to go to when I was a child in Chanute, Kansas, they would usually have 1 to 2 to 3 arcade machines in the little Walmart lobby. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, it was the stand-up Avengers arcade game. And you could play as Captain America, you could play as Iron Man, you could play as Hawkeye, and then you could play as this guy that was all white. Had
yes,
a cape,
which was his design for a while.
And he could blast lasers out of a triangle in his head. And I never knew his name. I just knew him as the white guy who blasted lasers out of his head for years. And then when I read the Heroes Reborn run, they finally named him for me because I think he starts as white and he turns into colors.
And then he becomes white again. Yes.
And that's when I put 2 and 2 together and I was like, oh, that's the guy from the game.
Oh, that's a great story. Also, the white guy who shoots lasers from his forehead should be on Paul Bettany's business card.
But that's how I first met and cuted the Avengers video game, the arcade a video game.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into the History 101.
History 101 is where Professor Ashley is going to give you the main meat of the lesson. Everything you need to know. Here it is. Buckle up. Turn up your headphones.
I would also, just before I dive in, I'd just like to say that Jason is very, very familiar with the Vision as well, and perhaps more familiar with a bunch of his Avengers runs than I am. So
I'm probably more familiar with the Avengers as a whole, I think, than you are.
I don't think that's a...
You're not a big... Are you a big fan of the Avengers? I'm not certain. In the comics?
They're fine. I'm not a team book gal, as I say repeatedly on our...
I'm going to say this. I love team books, because when a team book is done well, it's done really well. But I will say this. There are more bad Avengers runs than there are good ones.
And that is absolutely true.
I'm sorry, my friends. That is just a fact.
But so if at any point you want to jump in and add anything,
okay.
I am giving you a blank check to do so. You're more than welcome to.
Again, I don't have a lot of connection to Vision, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to hop in, but I'm curious. We'll see.
Alrighty, so we're going to start with some publication history. So when Stan Lee and Roy Thomas, it's definitely Rob Thomas, were looking to add a new character to the Avengers, Thomas pitched the idea of adding the Golden Age Vision. Remember I mentioned before that Timely Comics had a character called Vision before, but Stan Lee said no! And so Stan Lee created an android character and basically stuck Thomas writing him with no choice because Stan Lee was the editor.
I just want to... It is Roy Thomas.
Oh, Roy Thomas. Okay, I'm so sorry.
No, when you said Rob, I was like, it's not the Matchbox 20 guy.
I'm so sorry.
It is Roy Thomas.
To Mr. Roy Thomas.
Roy William Thomas Jr.
There we go. So he got stuck writing this. So apparently Thomas wanted Vision to appear colorless and uninked on the page in order to echo his name and appear ghostly like a vision.
You mean like the guy that shoots lasers out of his forehead?
Yeah, the leg white guy.
That guy.
But they settled on green with red highlights because the OG Vision is green. And they decided on the green highlights so that he would be visually distinct from the Hulk, who's just a big green mass.
Before we get into the too much further, I want to ask you a question, and that's totally cool. We are just covering the regular Marvel Universe Vision. We're not going to talk about Ultimate Vision.
Yeah, correct.
Cool. All right, cool. Because just in case anybody is out there, because they're quite different.
You can if you want an ultimate version of any character or one that you feel like
we haven't, because we do
touch on the ultimate version sometimes, you can absolutely request that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the Vision was first introduced, he was quickly compared to Spock from Star Trek.
Really?
Okay. Yes, he was. Despite Thomas stating that he was not aware of the show at the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, think about it. They're both cold. They're both logical. They are both arguably robotic. And if you know anything about the characters that I love in Star Trek, I think it's no surprise that I love Spock, and so I would love the Vision.
Sure.
Thomas did admit later on to taking inspiration for the Vision from a character named Adam Link, who was created by Otto Binder. He's another android character who kind of never really got out of the early Silver Age. Ironically, both of these characters are arguably overshadowed by the Star Trek character Data, who was first introduced in the 1980s, Data being maybe the most famous android that we've seen to date.
1987.
Mm-hmm.
There are some androids in Doctor Who, but I don't know if they would have come across the pond to America.
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I don't think they would have been that well known.
Yes. Thomas is also credited with introducing the idea of the Vision being developed from the body of the original android Human Torch. Really quick, Jason, if people aren't familiar, the Human Torch hasn't always been Johnny Storm?
No, the original Human Torch was introduced as part of the Invaders with the original Joe Simon, Jack Kirby, Captain America run way back in the 1940s when they were Timely Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks exactly like Johnny Storm when he's lit up with mm-hmm. the arms, but he's actually Jim Hammond. He is also an android that mm-hmm. was invented to help fight the Nazis.
So it's implied a lot.
And he's also called the Human Torch, which is kind of confusing.
Yes. In the early days that Vision is built from his body, although it's never explicitly stated until Stephen Englehart got his work on the Avengers, and he canonized that detail. And he told Back Issue magazine in 2010 that, quote, that plot was well known in-house for years, and since Roy Thomas and Neil Adams hadn't had a chance to do it, I did it on my watch with Roy's blessing, end quote. So I actually think that's kind of lovely.
That's fine.
So he canonized something that the original creator always wanted to. 2 years after his introduction in the comics, the Scarlet Witch was brought back onto the Avengers, and their romance kicked off pretty much right off the bat. Thomas said in a 2003 interview, also with Back Issue, ironically, about their romance, quote, I felt that the that a romance of some sort would help the character development in the Avengers. And the Vision was a prime candidate because he appeared only in that mag, as did Wanda for that matter. So they became a pair for just such practical considerations. It would also, I felt, add to the development I was doing on the Vision attempting to become human, end quote. So they only got together because they were both only in that magazine, and so they didn't have a ton of other crossover storylines or events to worry about. In case of anyone's favorite couple, it's a marriage of convenience.
Okay.
And from now on, we're just going to go into character biography time, but I just thought all of that was really, really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you, as a fan of Vision,
yes,
is he a ripoff of Spock?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think he's definitely inspired by Spock.
I think for Roy Thomas to be like, I didn't even know what Star Trek was. You're like, okay, girl, okay.
No, I think
Spock was probably percolating in his mind, but Spock, I mean, the characters are nothing alike.
Sure. But Spock was very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he 100%. I think Vision is definitely inspired by Spock.
Yes, but I think maybe he was not consciously inspired
by Spock. No,
and that's fine. You know, because we all can cite references.
I'm not saying the Vision is a ripoff of Spock. I'm just saying that I think it is too coincidental that these two characters are created that close together.
Yeah, who are struggling with their emotions and the idea of being quote-unquote human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In a team.
Yeah.
They're both in teams.
You know, that's fair. Let us know your thoughts. Weigh in at GHL Podcast. So, fictional character biography, TLDR, Hank Pym, remember him? He creates Ultron, remember him? Who was a robot who created another robot that would become the Vision. So he is Hank Pym's spiritual grandson.
Yep.
The Vision was created to take down Hank Pym. Remember him? Just talked about him. Fun fact, the Vision got his name because Hank's wife at the time, Janet Van Dyne, saw him and described him as a Vision. So there you go.
And as we know, Janet is famous for naming lots of Avengery things. She names
like
the Avengers.
Yeah. Yes. Rather than try to murder the Avengers like his daddy wanted him to, Vision names himself the Vision permanently and joins the Avengers to defeat Ultron. Right after this first adventure, Vision learns that his brain was patterned on Simon Williams' brain. Jason, who is Simon Williams?
Wonder Man.
Yes. Fun fact, as I was writing my notes for this, I just kept typing Wonder Woman, like automatically, and having to go back and change it.
Well, Wonder Woman is much cooler. I'm sorry. Sorry to all you Wonder fans
out
there.
All you Simon Williams stands. Yeah. Yes, Wonder Woman is way cooler. The upshot of having his consciousness forming over Wonder Man's is that the Avengers basically trust Vision and make him a member of their team, sight unseen, even though the first time they ever meet him, he is trying to take them down.
Comic books.
Yeah, basically. Being created by Ultron does have some bad side effects, however.
Yeah.
Like Vision repeatedly being taken over or temporarily controlled by Ultron in order to use him against the Avengers. Later on, the same thing will happen, except Scarlet Witch will take over the Vision to fight the Avengers. I am not going to tell you about most of the times this happens because it pretty much goes the way you would imagine, but I will tell you about the first time because it's a little bit wild. So, Vision's like being an Avenger, he's kissing Scarlet Witch, things are pretty good. Ultron takes over Vision's operating system, then he kidnaps him, breaks him down, and rebuilds him with adamantium for reasons.
Okay.
Before he sends Vision back to fight the Avengers, and then Vision, through the power of friendship, regains control over his own body, but he's got like a sweet adamantium body now. Adamantium is the fake Marvel alloy that is the basis of Wolverine's skeleton
claws. Supposed to be like the strongest metal in...
Until vibranium is invented.
Well, but I think vibranium and adamantium can't stop each other, which is weird, because you see all those pictures of Wolverine, because Wolverine's claws is made of adamantium.
Yeah.
Captain America's shield is made of vibranium. The material from Wakanda, and they constantly are hitting each other, and neither one of them breaks.
Yeah.
So you have to. I think adamantium is technically a little bit stronger.
I believe so, but I think in fan canon, because the MCU couldn't touch adamantium for a long time, everybody now thinks vibranium is stronger.
Yeah.
Either way, they're fake.
Yeah.
Right after this incident is when Vision and Scarlet Witch meet for the first time. If anyone's playing along with their bingo cards at home, they do eventually get married. They have twin sons, Tommy and Billy. I'm only mentioning that because the only good thing about their relationship is Tommy and Billy.
Are we going to cover Tommy and Billy?
Not really.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. Because in our Scarlet Witch episode, we covered Tommy and Billy a lot. And we covered the whole Young Avengers arc. And Wanda is a much bigger part of that than Viz is.
Okay.
So... not a ton. Would you like to...
Are we on a nickname basis with Vision now? Viz?
That's what they call him. That's his nickname.
Such a terrible nickname.
Yeah, well, wait till we get to Tom King's rung and everyone gets a nickname.
All right.
From this point forward, Vision remains one of the strongest, most powerful members of the consistent Avengers roster. He is on most Avengers teams from this point forward.
That's an Avengers surname that we don't get, the consistent Avengers.
I mean, he's one of the only ones who's pretty much always on an Avengers team.
I'd read that book, The Consistent Avengers. We're the Avengers that always pay our rent.
Yeah. We show up for our visitation every weekend. And it's really not until he fights against Annihilus and flies directly into his energy field that Vision ever has any major technical issues. He shuts down, his body gets broken, and he doesn't regain consciousness again for several weeks. Now, this is an important moment for Vision because it marks the first time that he suffers from a physical ailment not caused by Ultron. In fact, Vision remains paralyzed even after regaining consciousness and begins to go about in a holographic form where he is neither hindered nor restricted by his injuries. An unfortunate side effect of trauma in both the Marvel 616 and in the real world is that people and androids, presumably, start lashing out uncharacteristically, and this happens to Vision after he regains control of his physical form. So he kind of goes around, see-through, energy form, looking ghosty, and then when he gets his body back, he's acting kind of weird. But everyone is like, well, you went through all this trauma, we're going to try to treat you with grace. But then Vision does what we would all expect a sensible robot to do, and he tries to take control over all the computers in the world. That's how much he lashes out.
I told you he was Skynet.
And this is the first really massive show of technopathy that we get from him up to this point in his history. He does manage to get control of all the computers and the toasters, the toilets for a little while, but the Avengers take care of him. They get Vision sorted out, and then they make an agreement that he will remain closely monitored by, quote, allied world governments, unquote. But because this is Marvel and because this is comics, we don't get like a roster of who these allied world governments are.
Why isn't
are.
It just S.H.I.E.L.D.? That's so weird.
I don't know the answer to that.
The representative from Bolivia wants to watch the robots.
Yeah, Angela Merkel just checks in with Vision every day. Hello.
Yeah, President Macron, I need to see the robot.
Oui, le Vision.
Oui, oui.
Although, most importantly, after this, Vision and Scarlet Witch join the West Coast Avengers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Then Vision Quest happens. Jason, do you know what Vision Quest is?
I've seen the trade.
Yeah.
I do, and I don't remember it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Vision Quest is a storyline that takes place in West Coast Avengers.
Dun, 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 dun.
You get it every time.
It's been a long time.
It has.
This is, by the way, for new listeners, this is an old school
year one.
This is a year one joke of Geek History Lesson where the West Coast Avengers are just like the chill surfer Avengers, and so that's why they have a rockin' theme song.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it originates in the Hawkeye episode.
I think it does. I think it does. Yeah.
There was also another team had a
X-Force.
Theme. Yeah,
because it was X-Force.
Yeah, I was like, it's like a guitar riff.
Yeah, because it's all 90s, yeah.
So in West Coast Avengers, number 42 to 45, published from March to June in 1989, written and drawn by John Byrne.
Yeah.
We got the storyline Vision Quest, and this is the first story to break down Vision from the idea of being a, quote, synthetic human, end quote. Because up to this point, he's referred to as a synthezoid rather than an android, even though it evokes the same thing, right, being a synthetic human.
Even though synthezoid is a made-up word.
It's not a word, yeah. And it deals with the idea of Vision's own original identity starting to emerge because we have wiped away Wonder Man's brain patterns. Now, when John Byrne does this, a lot of other changes happen, and Vision becomes literally a different person. He puts an end to his relationship with Scarlet Witch, who he was married to at the time. And this series is also iconic because John Byrne drew a 2-page spread of Vision where he is dismantled, and he's like laid out on this table right before he's going to be reassembled, and he's going to sort of evolve into the next step of who the Vision is. And in an article by Karen Walker in Back Issue that we pulled the Roy Thomas quote from earlier, she talks a lot about this double page spread, a lot about this scene and its impact on this character. And she writes, quote, "This image alone has probably done more to shape how future writers and readers perceive the character than anything before or since. Once seen broken down into component parts, it's hard to truly move past that image and think of Vision as a synthetic man and not a machine," end quote. And I think that is a really, really interesting take. I'm going to share the double page spread on our social media at JHL Podcast, but I want to show the image to Jason and I want to get his reaction because I have it here in my notes because it is a very striking image. And because it's John Byrne, all the ladies have really excellent hair. Jason, what do you think about Vision all laid out on the table like that?
I mean, well, listeners, I'm just going to tell you, send this an eagle eye shot over Mockingbird and Scarlet Witch's shoulders. It's not really a close up. It's just that you see all the component pieces kind of laid out, and then you see his skin kind of dangling there. I don't think I've ever seen this double page spread. It's quite well drawn by John Byrne, but it's not as shocking to me as you were describing it, really.
It might have been shocking for the time. Like, this was the first time we'd seen Vision like this. Mm-hmm. I think what is shocking about it is that there's nothing recognizable as human or human-like there. Like, yeah, that's a machine, Maury. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, why is Vision getting dismantled in Vision Quest? I'm so glad you asked. Rogue government agents hired Immortus. Jason, who's Immortus?
I believe if you're
it's okay if you don't know.
If you're referring to the Immortus that I know, he is the future version of Kang the Conqueror,
and yes,
time traveling. He is Kang the Conqueror, who's going to appear in a future Ant-Man movie. Is a time traveler, mm-hmm, and then he fights all the time against this guy named Immortus, mm-hmm, and Immortus is a future version of Kang that has turned good.
Yes.
Or good-ish.
Good light.
Yes.
Do you know his government name?
Immortus?
Mm-hmm.
No.
So he has a human name.
I didn't know that.
It's Nathaniel Richards.
Oh, yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and no. we always talk about... do you mind? Can I go down this weird?
Yeah.
This is a weird hole. I forgot that this had anything to do with Vision. Oh my God. So Nathaniel Richards is Reed Richards' father. And in a lot of different versions, they like to say that he becomes Kang the Time Conqueror. Mm-hmm. Now, that has been debunked by several different writers.
And canonized and recanonized and decanonized.
Yes.
And yeah.
So it's in continuity that, mm-hmm, Nathaniel Richards is Kang, and it's also out of continuity. Mm-hmm. There's also another storyline that makes Immortus and Kang the Conqueror actually a future version of Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that Nathaniel Richards is not Immortus,
mm-hmm,
that Nathaniel Richards, Reed Richards' father, is something else, because I don't like that it makes the Marvel Universe so insular, mm-hmm, to the Fantastic Four. But let's just say that this is a guy named Nathaniel Richards that is not Reed Richards' father.
I also just wanted to bring that up because, as Jason mentioned, at the time of this recording, fairly recently, Jonathan Majors has been cast to play Kang in an upcoming MCU movie, and everyone is wondering if he's going to be related to the Fantastic Four.
And I will say, close to the time of this, mm-hmm, recording, Christopher Cantwell, the writer of the most recent Doctor Doom solo series,
who you can hear Jason interview in a past lesson.
Yes, he came out emphatically and said, Kang is not Nathaniel Richards.
Yeah. So at least for right now, yep, he's not. But, mm-hmm, I knew you would have opinions on it. So
I forgot about that because I wipe most of that out of my brain that Nathaniel is Kang. I don't buy it for a second.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about being a comics fan is you can make your own continuity.
That is correct.
So I brought up Immortus. Like I said, he was hired by rogue government agents.
Our favorite kind of government agents.
My question is, aren't they all? And Immortus is hired. He is the one who ultimately breaks Vision apart, as we saw in the double page spread. And it is Hank Pym, Vision's kind of grandfather, who is faced with the task of rebuilding him.
God, I should have saved the instructions.
Maybe my wife could slap some sense into me, which she does.
Where's that crescent wrench?
And he gets a new white complexion. And what I want to believe is a reference to Roy Thomas's original concept design for the character, but probably isn't. But I want to believe it is because that'd be kind of cool. This is the rebuilding that ultimately ends up re-wiping out Vision's brain. And he describes the rebuilding sensation as having, quote, ripped out his soul, end
right,
quote.
Right.
And also at the end of Vision Quest, the original android Human Torch appears, which causes a lot of confusion about where Vision's original body came from, because it was supposed to have been from the Human Torch. We don't really know. It's never really answered. Don't worry. In the
This is built by Ultron. Good enough.
In the contemporary age, Tony's going to give a bunch of new bodies anyway. Vision Quest also reveals that Vision and Scarlet Witch's children aren't real.
Mm-hmm.
So Vision and Scarlet Witch have these babies, which is weird because Vision is a synthetic human and presumably does not have the biology and the component parts to make a child.
Is he fully functional in that area, to steal a joke from Data?
One would assume so, based on some of the panels of him and Wanda.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that he can make a baby.
Well, that's correct.
You know?
They need a crescent wrench for that one.
That's right. trying to speak appropriately, but also not earn that explicit
yes,
rating.
Yes, yes, yes.
But anyway, they have these twin boys.
So they have these babies.
They have these babies. Yep. They're not real. They are like...
What are they?
Like so many things, a construct of Scarlet Witch's deranged mind.
Okay, so let's explain that a little bit more, because we all know that Scarlet Witch has reality warping powers. We've even seen that a little bit in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. And there's a future storyline that where Wanda's reality warping powers go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is an aspect of that. She like thought these babies into existence. And then,
because she's so powerful, we got a version of them. And when this is revealed to her, she is driven further into the depths of insanity, which is kind of her bag. More on that in the Scarlet Witch episode if you're interested in it.
Well, and I will say, we can talk about it later, because this leads to the very famous storyline Avengers Disassembled, which is another 15 years down the road, where Wanda attacks the Avengers and disassembles them.
Yes. We're actually going to get to that probably more quickly than you're expecting.
yes, because Vision's a pretty big part of that.
Yes.
And Brian Michael Bendis, the writer of that, has specifically said that this John Byrne storyline, mm-hmm. where she goes crazy, was the inspiration for why... Because a lot of people, when that happened, I remember in the comic book news, a lot of people were like, why is Wanda the villain? And Brian Michael Bendis' answer was...
Well, there's precedent for it.
He was like, if you read this story from the 80s...
This Bronze Age story.
She's already the villain.
Yes. Also, it was interesting in my research, because I was unaware of this issue. I kind of thought that, or Vision Quest, I hadn't read any of it until before I did this episode. I had sort of thought that the issue with the twins was all kind of swirling around that Young Avengers period of publishing history, which is not at all the case.
By the way, I don't think this is Bronze Age. I think this is late 80s. I think this is like 88, 89.
Oh, you think this is modern? I believe this is 89. You're right.
If I'm correct about this, I believe this is some of the stuff that John Byrne did after he left DC Superman. He came back to Marvel and did this.
Look, I know that the Bronze Age, like, technically, like, some people think it starts in 1985, but in my brain, it always goes
up. No, Bronze Age is 70. Dark Age starts in 85.
That's okay. So I don't abide by the Dark Age. I think the Bronze Age just goes until 89. That's my brain. That's
okay.
How I think.
Right. That's fine.
But that's a debate for another time.
Sure.
In addition to the relationship falling apart, Vision and Scarlet Witch split apart physically, and one of the ways that they do that is they join separate Avengers teams, because there's like a bazillion Avengers lineups in the Marvel Comics
universe.
Did
they go to the Consistent Avengers?
I believe...
We're the Consistent Avengers.
I believe Viz stays on the Avengers, and Wanda goes back to West Coast Avengers.
West Coast. You gotta say it the right way.
You can say it for me.
Let's do it together. Ready?
West Coast Avengers, dun, dun, dun. And then I think she leaves and joins the X-Men again, or the Brotherhood for a while.
Does she really?
I don't know. It's been a long time since the Scarlet Witch episode. But she's always leaving the Avengers, leaving the X-Men, joining the X-Men, joining the Avengers, moving to the West Coast, all that stuff.
Well, it's about like Vision being blown up. I feel by this point in like modern comic book history, you know, if you're tracking like 2021, that Vision has been like destroyed and blown up and rebuilt 50 times now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, probably.
Yeah.
Over time, Vision remasters his emotions by adding the brain patterns of a scientist named Alex Lipton into his operating system. And then later on, he also goes back and adds, I wrote Wonder Woman, Wonder Man's brain patterns back in there to give us a persona that contemporary readers probably think of up until Tom King's Vision. So this is kind of the solidifying of like the 90s and 2000s version of the Vision personality. Vision also gets a swanky new body pretty quick, and he readopts the red and gold and green color motif. I do not believe in the main continuity we get another white body after this point.
I don't know.
Vision then rejoins the regular Avengers. He gets his ass kicked. He gets disassembled by Morgan Le Fay, who is a Avengers magic villain.
That is the opening of the George Perez, Kurt Busiek Avengers run, the run that
Jason's favorite Avengers
run? I consider it to be the best Avengers run of all time.
It certainly has the best hair of all time.
He's a hologram for a long, long time. And also
in an echo to the original storyline that I told you
about. Are we going to talk about some Wonder Man's shenanigans in this?
We are not going to talk a lot about Wonder Man, no.
Okay, so I want to bring this up. So
go for it.
So Vision, there's a very interesting thing they do with Wanda in this run. So they start out that the first three issues are about fighting Morgan Le Fay.
Yep.
At the end of the three issues, she destroys Vision. Mm-hmm. But Vision luckily was able to upload his brain to the Avengers Mansion. So he's like the hologram that goes around, which I also think is the inspiration for Iron Man. This is the reason why they have Jarvis talk.
I agree,
think it's that Vision from that run.
And I also think this is why in the MCU, Jarvis becomes Vision, and then we move Friday into that position.
But I think it's from this run that they were taking it, because like for 25 issues, I think Vision is nothing but a hologram.
It's cool. I like it a lot. Actually,
at that time in the mid 90s, Wonder Man was dead.
Yep.
And during the Morgan Le Fay fight, Scarlet Witch did some magicy stuff and decided to call back to put out a call to all the Avengers to help. So all the, like, Spider-Man showed up, the Hulk showed up.
Everyone who ever avenged to avenge.
Our favorite D-Man of the sewer showed up. Old D-Man. Victoria Mollet's favorite D-Man. Longtime Geekcaster Lesson guest and favorite listener, Victoria Mollet. I know she loves D-Man. She would kill Kevin Feige for the chance to direct a D-Man movie. I'm just putting that in the universe. Kevin Feige, I know you're listening out there. Anyways, she put out this call, and from the grave came an energy form that was Simon Williams, Wonder Man. So for like about 10 issues, she had Ghost Vision and Ghost Wonder Man, and they're both her ex-boyfriends, and then she sort of consummated with Wonder Man.
Yeah, there's a weird issue where she's dressed like a Romani woman.
That was her costume for most of this run.
Yes, it's a great costume, don't get me wrong. But they just do it because it's sexy, right? There's no like in-story reason for it.
No. They do it because it's sexy.
Which is fine. But there is an issue where she's in I can like see the opening splash page. She's in it and like her and Wonder Man go on a date to like a little cafe. And then like he gets mad at her because his brain patterns were in Vision. Like she had anything to do with that whatsoever. Like she really kind of redates both of them to try to figure out who she really in love with. Is it Viz or is it Simon?
Because in that run, Vision also was like, he felt that since his body had been destroyed, that he was like, basically I'm dead. So he's like, you can consider our marriage null.
Yeah, he's like, you don't have to worry about me.
But her reality powers bring Simon fully back to life. Yes. So he becomes a real boy. And then that kind of spurs Vision to rebuild his body.
Yes.
So it's like 25 issues of the Vision, Wonder Man, Scarlet Witch love triangle. And it's kind of, again, it's kind of hinky because both of the men have the same brains.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yes. Vision does.
It would be like dating twins. Yes.
It would be like dating twins. Vision does eventually get his body back, as you may have
with the help of Tony Stark.
Yes, he does. His marriage with Scarlet Witch does resume, but she's a little wild. So the next time they go on a break, Vision plays the field for the first time since his conception.
And does he find a Roomba?
What?
He's playing the field. He's a robot. Never mind.
I don't get it.
All right, I'll give you some. Hold on, I'll give myself one of these. Hold on. There we go. Well deserved.
And he dates two of his Avengers cohorts.
Who? You want me to guess?
Yeah, guess.
I don't remember this.
You're never going to guess.
Miss Marvel.
Which Miss Marvel?
Carol Danvers.
You're correct.
Okay. And then he's one more?
Yeah.
Magneto.
No. You got the right first two letters.
What? So it's another M?
M-A, yeah.
I don't know.
You're literally never going to get
Misty Knight?
No. Misty Knight is M.I.
I don't know.
So he dates Carol Danvers, who is both Warbird and Miss Marvel
during this time. She was renamed Warbird, during this time.
And Mantis.
Oh, Mantis.
So
I never would have picked Mantis.
Well, think about it. She's another kind of humanoid, but not a human, who processes emotions a little differently.
And he has no emotions.
So it's actually, I don't think it's an unintelligent choice.
That's fair.
Now I would like to hold, please, and ask you this question.
Okay.
Both Carol Danvers and Mantis are characters in the MCU along with Vision.
That's correct.
So do you think there is any chance that we're going to see Vision having entanglements with either of them in either future movies or TV episodes?
Absolutely not.
Bummer. I'd love to see that.
No.
I'd actually love to see him. I'm not interested in Carol Danvers as a character at all, but I would love to see the idea of him and Mantis. I think that's really interesting, and I think there's a lot of really cool storytelling potential there.
I don't think you'll see either one.
I think they'll just saddle him with Wanda forever.
I do too.
So the next time Scarlet Witch goes off the deep end, she becomes really fixated on bringing Billy and Tommy, the sweet baby twins, back to life. And so what does she do? But she causes a whole bunch of major disasters, which include Vision crashing the Quinjet into Avengers Mansion, Vision losing control of his physical body, Vision expelling 5 physical spheres from his body that turn into 5 Ultrons, the 5 Ultrons fighting the Avengers, and then She-Hulk ripping the Vision into a billion pieces, all of which culminates in the Avengers Code White alert, which is the highest alert level that they had. And this is the Avengers disassembled, assembled
storyline. And she kills
storyline.
Hawkeye and Jack of Hearts.
She does. Yeah. This is also the era. This is probably my.
This is Avengers Disassembled by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, this leads into like my favorite era of Vision stories, because this is also obviously right on the precipice of Young Avengers
and
as
New
well.
Avengers.
Yeah, and then the New Avengers, I still maintain, is like one of the best things that Bendis has ever written.
I agree. And I would say that it is the original New Avengers run is one of the better Avengers titles. Yes.
So fun fact, when Jason and I first met, I had not read a ton of Avengers stuff, and you actually gave me
Young Avengers,
and this era of New Avengers, because you had on your Comixology account, which you very kindly shared with me. So thank you for all of that. It is later retconned that Doctor Doom forced Scarlet Witch to force Vision to fight the Avengers he did. I don't subscribe to that, but that is that is current canon.
They were just trying to make Wanda a good guy again. It's fine.
Just make her. She's way more interesting as a villain.
I agree.
And the idea that Vision,
she's the daughter of Magneto, even though they've retconned that now.
You know what? No,
I don't buy that.
Unfair.
Either.
Yep. But I think it's so much more interesting that Vision, this character who's trying to be human, falls for somebody of like moral ambiguity. Like I think that again, I think it's way more interesting story potential if Wanda's a villain. Is this version of the Vision's operating system, which is used to create Iron Lad's armor. So shout out to all the Young Avengers fans listening. And then Vision fights death itself, blows them both up, and dies forever. Episode over. Thank you so much for listening
today. I don't understand any of that you just said.
So at the end of this storyline, Vision fights death.
Like literal death. Like Grim Reaper death.
Yes, the person who Thanos is in love with.
I didn't know if you were making a metaphor or not.
No,
or
he literally blows them up
and
he dies.
And this is in the Young Avengers?
Yes.
Okay.
And then that's it. We never see Vision again after this.
And that's not true.
It's not true at all. It's only after the Fear Itself storyline, Jason's favorite Marvel event.
Nope.
where Tony Stark rebuilds Vision and then basically
again
throws him back on the Avengers. Vision goes to She-Hulk and is like, I forgive you for literally killing me that one time because I killed myself after that, so I'm not that mad about it. And he's like, but where's Scarlet Witch? Where's my wife? We're married still, even though I've died twice in the interim. Everyone's like, oh, she's on Utopia with her dad, with Magneto. So what does Vision do except be a psycho husband? Nothing. He goes to Utopia. He literally screams at Magneto and is like, where's my wife?
We should probably explain. Utopia is the island that all of the mutants of the world, when there were less than 198 of them after House of M, and they raised Asteroid M out of the ocean mm-hmm. and they lived off the coast of San Francisco. That's what Utopia is.
Yes. So, Utopia, the...
So he went to their, he went to the door and like, where's my wife, Magneto?
Yes, very.
Like he was...
I mean, he might as well have been Stanley Kowalski.
Look, he was getting drunk off a WD-40. I get it.
She decides she doesn't want to see him, and Magneto's like, you know, I could just kill you, and the only reason I'm not going to do it is because Wanda loves you, and I love Wanda. And he's like, go away. And Vision doesn't go away. And so Captain America shows up and is like, hey, man, you got to get over her and move on.
Hey, bro, come on. get back in the Quinjet, man. Come on, bro.
Which is advice that I personally am still waiting for Vision to follow to this very day. Right. Just move on from Scarlet Witch.
Well, he sort of does in the Tom King storyline, as we'll get to.
Sort of, yes. Vision does confront Scarlet Witch during the Avengers versus X-Men story, where he says that he cannot forgive her for taking over his body and using it to attack their team and their friends. And so he will not allow her to ever enter Avengers Mansion again, and he sends her away in tears. Then Marvel Now happens. Jason, what is Marvel Now?
It's just a soft reboot, rebranding of Marvel. Literally nothing changes.
Vision
They put a new logo on the covers.
Hey, and everything got a number one.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And they said, we're not doing the new 52. This is a sequel boot.
Yeah. That's a good thing about doing Marvel lessons over DC lessons. Like, literally with Marvel, nothing ever changes. They just put a different logo on the cover.
Yeah, or they're like, ooh, Punisher was in Iraq this time.
Yeah. And now there's less mutants or whatever.
Yeah, or more, as the case is going to be. Vision starts off Marvel Now spectacularly by quitting the Avengers, and then doesn't really crop up again until after Age of Ultron, the comic book event that was titled or written after the movie title was announced, where he's recruited to join Avengers AI. Jason, what do you think Avengers AI is?
I believe it was a comic book written by Sam Humphries where the Avengers went after robots. I read Avengers AI.
It's an Avengers team made up of robots, basically, who feel relatively positive about humanity and is inexplicably led by Hank Pym.
Because they have the robot Runaway on there.
So I was going to ask, Jason, can you name the members of Avengers AI? There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the initial lineup.
His name is like, is it like, it's not like Victor, I want to say Victor La Mancha or
something
like that?
It's Victor Mancha, yeah. Victor Mancha, he's the robot son of Doom.
I was thinking like the Don Quixote, which is why. I think Jocasta is on it.
Nope.
No?
No. There is a woman.
I don't remember.
So it's Hank Pym, Vision. Victor Mancha, as you mentioned, Monica Chang. So Monica Chang is apparently the second Marvel Comics character to be named Black Widow.
Okay.
But she's an android.
Okay.
And then there's a Doombot who's programmed to be nice. Yeah.
Yes. The Doombot is actually, by the way, I will say, if you don't have this as part of the recommended reading.
I don't. Do you want me to add it?
You should add
it.
Okay. We're
a big Sam Humphries fans, which is why he's been on the show.
This is a really fun run. And if you like any of the bah jokes that I do with Dr. Doom, the Doombot does it constantly.
Okay, great.
And the Doombot doesn't understand humor is part of the gag. He doesn't get humor. And so like his humor is like threatening the team, threatening to kill this team, basically, is his jokes.
Okay. And fun fact, this version of the Vision gets kind of an upgrade. He's not just one robot anymore. He's made up of millions of little micro robotic automatons and nanobots. Think the little robots from Big Hero 6.
No, this is a fun book. This is a really fun book.
And the Doombot, despite being reprogrammed, does revert to its evil nature, and it goes back to being evil in the storyline Ultron Forever, where it masquerades as Dr. Doom and attacks various Avengers characters throughout their historical timeline.
You can't trust Dr. Doom, man.
You can't, even though you love him.
I do.
Until Vision uncovers his true identity and puts a stop to the time travel shenanigans. Then all new, all different Marvel started, which was just another set of adjectives so that we could launch a bunch of new number ones. Vision is once again a consistent member of the Avengers, although his emotional data has once again been compromised. So he's a little more robotic here than in some of the previous storylines. He has all these crazy hallucinations that lead him to force the new Nova and the new Miss Marvel to quit the team. He's like, I don't like you. Leave me alone.
He thinks they're too young.
And this leads to the revelation that Vision has been controlled by... Who do we think he's been controlled by this time?
Ultron.
Kang this time. Kang uses Vision to launch his latest attack against the Avengers.
I just want to, by the way, this is like the second... listeners, I just want to like, we're going to step out of the episode a little bit here. We're going to have a producer's meeting. This is like the second episode... that we've recorded where Ashley has made the air horn sound effect. And Ashley, I played it during Cheetah, I believe. Uh-huh. You keep making the noise. Do you want an air horn sound effect?
No, I hate air horn sound effect.
But you keep doing it.
Yeah, I do it when silly things happen.
Like, do I need to have it ready? Do I need to add it to the board?
No.
I think we need hashtag air horn yes.
No. Okay. I'm not following up on that hashtag. And I'm the one who manages the Twitter, so no.
All right, you can continue. I'm sorry.
So Kang uses Vision to launch his latest attack against the Avengers. He's able to control Vision by having hacked into his programming during a recent software update. So Vision is like your iPhone. It's too loud. It makes me think of the little white boyfriend from Cloud Nine. I don't remember what his name is.
I don't know what you're referencing to.
So
what are you referencing?
Oh, not Cloud Nine. In Superstore.
Okay, the TV show Superstore.
Yeah, the little white boyfriend. He like knocks up the teenager girl.
Bo.
There, sure.
Yeah, because he always does. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
And he's very related to Vision. They're very similar.
That's just who the sound effect makes me think. So to save Vision and everybody else, Iron Man, because Iron Man is the hero of everything post-MCU.
That's right.
He purges Vision's software, which has the magical effect of allowing Vision to turn around and defeat Kang basically immediately. Although he is shaken by how easily he fell under Kang's control, as if this very thing hasn't been happening to him since the 1960s.
Are you kidding me? So the end of the storyline is that Iron Man just
reboots him.
Just
hard reboots him. Factory reset.
Iron Man just installs Catalina on Vision. That's what happens.
Only Apple product jokes here on the podcast. Then in 2016, Tom King pens Vision's most famous solo series of all time with art by Gabriel Hernandez Walta. And according to Amazon, it's one of the most celebrated comic books of the century, which I mean, it's a great comic book. Don't get me wrong.
It is a great comic book.
No shade to anyone who worked on it. But I was like, I think it's a little early in the century.
I mean,
to be claiming that.
I mean, I don't think that book has even been out 10 years yet.
It has not. So Vision decides he wants to try being a family man who lives in the suburbs. He builds himself a home in Virginia, and then he builds himself a family, a wife also named Virginia, teenage twins, Viv and Vin. They all look like him. They all have powers.
Do you know why he picks Richmond, Virginia?
Because that's where Tom King lived.
You are correct. are correct. Yep.
And they get a cool dog.
That is actually the reason, everybody. Thomas said that in many interviews.
Yeah, it's not a secret. Yeah. We're not outing Thomas that. And then he also steps back from being an Avenger. He becomes a government consultant, and an Avengers consult. And he is just trying to be a human after all. And I love their little doggy. I love him so much. Not trying to spoil the story too much because I do think it is.
This is definitely in the recommended reading.
It is the very best Vision story that has ever been told.
Oh, yeah, easily.
However, it is much closer to a what-if storyline in the Marvel tradition, despite the fact that other Marvel Comics characters do pop up in the corners. But all you really need to know is that Vision is an android in order to jump into this, because it has almost no ties to like mainline continuity of the time. Rather than being a traditional superhero solo series, Vision focuses on the character and his family trying to do everything a 1950s hunky-dory style life would entail until a murder happens. And the murder that kicks this all off features the character Grim Reaper, the supervillain, not the actual Grim Reaper. I know Vision fought Death earlier, but it's just a character named Grim Reaper.
Do you know who the Grim Reaper is?
D-Man?
Nope. He is the brother to Wonder Man. So technically...
Oh, I did not know that.
The Grim Reaper, he's Wonder...
So this is like his twin brother killing him, or his stepbrother?
Well, this is like his older brother. His older stepbrother who's been murdered.
So Grim Reaper, he shows up and he attacks Viv, Vision's daughter, which forces Virginia, Vision's wife, to kill him. And then she tries to cover it up, so she does such things as burying him in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog digs him up, and as you would expect in any kind of suburban setting, bad things happen. Victor Mancha shows up. He is considered to be Vision's younger brother, so we're getting the whole Vision family tree up to this point. He shows up to investigate the crime, and then he kind of gets whacked over the head a little bit. Agatha Harkness, who is Scarlet Witch's mentor, shows up, and she involves herself with several cryptic hints about how the series is going to unravel. And then the narrative wraps up with Vision having to make a decision about his family's humanity, the same way that his fellow Avengers have had to make decisions based on him and his worth this whole time. Spoiler alert, somebody dies. And mm-hmm. it's actually really sad, even mm-hmm. though I think for the sake of the narrative and the story being told, it is correct that this person dies. It removes the issue that we've been struggling with the whole story. It's like really sad, the sort mm-hmm. of the final scenes of this. Vision and Viv are the only two who really make it out of this series. Vision goes on
Spoilers.
To appear in Secret Empire. Viv goes on to join the Champions.
And they don't leave this house. I remember the last issue of Champions I read, the Champions showed up at this house in uh-huh. Richmond, Virginia to pick up Viv.
Yes, with the dismantled family members in the basement. Yes, uh-huh. yes, and then Viv also actually later gets involved in some Red Room business. We're going to be talking more about Red Room in an upcoming episode, so stay tuned for that. And during Secret Empire, we do see Vision on Hydra's Avengers team taking over the United States. This is the one where Captain America is evil.
Yep.
We basically see a what if Hydra took over everything. But Vision is also a stealth member of the underground along with Viv. And he eventually becomes affected with an AI virus, as seems to be his destiny. And it's only when Vision sees his daughter Viv is free during the battle for DC that he's able to overcome the virus through the power of magic and love and valiantly fight off everybody attacking.
And updating his software to Mojave.
Probably. He manages to spread the virus to all the Hydra dreadnoughts, which takes them down and disables them and basically wipes out the biggest threat on the bad guy side of this equation. And this is where we're going to leave our Vision lesson, lest we spoil anything that has happened more recently.
Cool.
And if you have enjoyed this and you want to hear us talk more about the Vision, don't forget to check out the Patreon, right, Jason?
Yeah, if you go over to patreon.com/Jawin, we do 3 extra podcasts over there every single month. Geek Here's Lesson Extra happens every week, and the other podcasts happen monthly. And it's all for your support of keeping this podcast going. The Geek Here's Lesson Extra episode this week, if we can work it out. Now, there are some scheduling issues because we're in the middle of a Kickstarter as well. Mm-hmm. It's hopefully going to be a review of the first 2 episodes of WandaVision because they're combining the first 2 episodes into 1 episode. You know, 1 and 2 are becoming the pilot. But hopefully, if we can manage it, it'll be a review of that. And you can only hear that over at patreon.com/Jawin. And thank you to all our super friends who support us over there.
We love you.
We do.
Okay. So next we're going to talk about our recommended reading.
Recommended reading is if you liked any of the software updates that Ashley Victoria Robinson was talking about, you can go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. And we will have a selection of Vision-related books and technical manuals that you can read if you want to learn more about Vision. You click on that widget, you go to Amazon, you pick up that book, and a little bit of your purchase comes back to the Mind University. It's another way to support the Mind University if you can't go over to Patreon.
Yeah.
You get a little book for your trouble.
Yeah.
What's going on this list? We know we're going to add Avengers AI.
AI is going to go on there. And then we're also going to add Vision, the Complete Collection, which is the complete Tom and Gabriel series.
Yep.
Tom King, Gabriel, cool. Walta. This is literally the whole thing, the whole run. It's a love.
It's 12 issues.
It's a lovely hardback. There's really cool stuff in there. We own this. Yep. I truly can't recommend it enough. One of my favorite cover dresses of all time, the family tree.
Yep.
So cool.
The covers for this book were really good.
Yes, stunning. And then we are also going to be recommending West Coast Avengers, dun, 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 Vision Quest, which is the one that we talked a lot about earlier, where he's disassembled, reassembled, he gets personality of his own. And then rounding out the recommended reading is going to be Vision and Scarlet Witch, The Saga of Wanda and Vision. This is a trade paperback collection that collects the Steve Englehart stories that laid the groundwork for their romantic relationship. I haven't read the whole thing, but I read a lot of selections from this in preparation for this lesson. And I think if you like this series and you are interested in exploring their relationship, that is a really great place to start. Also, I'm not going to put this on the recommended reading, but The Avengers by Kurt Busiek. Any version of that collection, the Omni, we have recommended it
more than
10 times before, so I wanted to give you some new selections. But again, if you're looking for more Wanda and Vision stuff specifically, I think that's also a great place to go.
Agreed.
Jason, I have one question I want to ask you for our discussion.
Okay.
What do you think is successful about how Vision has been translated to the MCU?
Oh, that's a pretty, that's a,
because Vision is a complicated character, but he is also the android trying to be human is a trope that we have seen ad nauseum. Spock and Data, again, being really close touchstones. But people love Paul Bettany's version of this character.
I will say that Paul Bettany, I think, is a great choice for the Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because he's not classic Vision in those movies.
Not
he's
at all.
He's way more emotional, and he's way more human.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still very muted. He seems ethereal in the way plays him.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I hate the design of the costume. It's way too over-designed.
I will add this as well. He's too purple.
Yeah.
I wish he were more red than maroon.
But he looks like he catches your attention. But I do think he's way over-designed. To be honest with you, a lot of it I think is the voice. Like, I think the voice is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he moves and... I mean, the best thing in Avengers Age of Ultron is the creation of Vision.
Absolutely, like bar none, yes.
He's the best thing in that movie. And to be honest with you, he's some of the best parts of Infinity War as well. Mm-hmm.
His death is really sad.
I just think, I think it's like his tone is what he feels so unique to the rest of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Especially after we've been introduced to 87 versions of Iron Man 1.
Well, I was going to say, that's the comment I was going to make is like a lot of characters in the MCU are literally just like Tony Stark redo.
So
to get somebody that's not that, and that's not just somebody that's like Thor or Hulk, you're like, it catches your attention.
Great. So. All right, now let's roll on to Jason's favorite part of the podcast, the teaching tweet.
Yes, this is where Professor Ashley will sum up everything you need to know about Vision and sum it up into the length of a tweet, which who knows what that length is anymore. And you can go find this if you follow us over on Twitter at GHL Podcast.
The Vision. He's my favorite robot at Marvel Comics, except maybe for Herbie. All right, let's roll.
How are you going to tweet that? That's what I want to know.
Air horn noises in little asterisks, I guess. Maybe I'll just put the sound effect at the bottom.
Sure.
Let's roll right into the honor roll, shall we?
The honor roll is if you go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, we will read your review on the podcast. And if you are an international listener, you're going to have to email us your review. You could take a screenshot of that review, your 5-star review. Email it to us at geekishlesson@gmail.com. It's the only way we can see it. I can't see your reviews in Finland, no matter how much I try. I can't.
Please send us reviews from Finland.
I would love to. I know we have some Finland listeners. So, Ashley, who's joining the honor roll this week?
We have two amazing people joining the honor roll today. First is Javi with a J, who I think is my friend Javi, who says, my second and favorite podcast. Geek History Lesson was my second podcast I ever listened to, but it is by far my favorite podcast that I have ever listened to. Jason and Ashley work so well with each other and have taught me so much about comics. When one of my friends asked me how I know so much about comics, I always tell them to listen to GHL. GHL even inspired me to create my own podcast and this morning show.
Oh, that's really cool.
That is so sweet.
There was a brief moment where I was like, I thought he was saying that we were his second favorite podcast. And I was going to be like, what's the first?
And Javi with the J is also joined by DJ Hairball. Are you a kitty? Who says an amazing podcast?
XYZZZVBBB22211.
No, don't you dare.
No, because it's the kitty on the keyboard.
Oh. Who says an amazing podcast indeed. I'm not sure why I've waited this long to write a review. That's sweet of you. I've been a listener since the early days. I love the banter between our scholarly hosts and all the guest professors are amazing. I've always been a nerdy guy, but I don't always have time to read all the stories I'd like to. This podcast has educated me in character histories and turned me onto stories that I'd never given a chance. Keep up the good work. I'm a Patreon supporter. God bless your soul. And will continue to be one and will encourage others to do so as well. If invited, I'll be sure to leave some cookies in the teacher's lounge. What kind of cookies, DJ Hairball? What kind?
Well, both of you, welcome into the teacher's lounge of the Mind University. You can set those cookies over next to some brownies that were brought in by Professor Williams.
What does Professor Williams teach?
Microsoft OneNote.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, where it's a technological episode.
That's a poll I was not.
Yeah, Microsoft OneNote. So you can learn all about that. And don't forget, you cannot with Microsoft OneNote Or maybe you can. I don't know. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that follow button. Click that download button so you don't miss an episode. And if you have a friend out there that's really enjoying WandaVision or really enjoys Age of Ultron, all the MCU stuff, and you think they would like this episode, send it to them. Email it to them. Tweet it to them. Facebook to them. It really helps the show grow. And we want to, you know, we want to bring in more students to the Mind University. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Ashley, where can they do that?
You can do that at... on Twitter at GHL Podcast. You can find Jason on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. You can also find us on geekhistorylesson.com and facebook.com/geekhistorylesson.
Yes, and don't forget, we have a Kickstarter going on, Super Best Friend, my 48-page comic book at superbestfriendcomic.com. And now we are to hashtag stick around. Ashley.
Jason.
What's this? What it do?
I have one very simple question for you.
Okay.
Should Vision have a solo ongoing Marvel Comics title at all time?
At all time?
Well, you know, consistent, like Iron Man kind of always has one going. Cap always has one going. None of the women do because it's Marvel.
My answer is no.
Why?
He's a supporting character.
Avengers are supporting characters.
I think most of the Avengers, with the exception of like Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, are better as supporting characters in the Avengers books, and seeing them with that mixture of the team is way better than seeing them as a solo book. We're going to get more goofy issues than we are going to get issues like Tom King's The Vision. And also ask yourself, what would that book be? It's a robot fighting crime? Well, how is that any different than what he's doing in the Avengers? Why do we need that book?
I will say, when Marvel comes to me, I'm going to speak this into the universe, and says that I can write whoever I want.
You're going to say Vision?
I would be very interested in taking a crack at Vision. Now, you do have the weight of what Tom and Gabriel did hanging over you.
You do.
I just think there is, I think with characters who struggle with humanity, you can do a lot of really interesting things.
Sure. I think you can do that stuff better in TV and movies than you can in comic books.
Well, we're talking about comic books.
I know.
I think that's a fair assertion.
I think that's a hard subject matter to accomplish in a comic book.
Well,
but that's just me.
Frankenstein did it. And invented science fiction.
I look forward to reading your Vision comic book.
You'll read the first draft of that.
Will you call it Double Vision?
So
we can get that song, Close Your Eyes, You Got Double Vision. You could clone the Vision. Okay, here's your plot. Ready? Here you go. This is off the top of my head, crazy pitch. Nobody steal this copyright geek history lesson of a Marvel character, which is impossible. Ashley, the Vision is going to walk into a 3D printer, a giant 3D printer, and when he walks out, it's Vision Yellow and Vision Green, and which one's the real Vision? One's angry, one's happy. Who's the real Vision? Who is Scarlet Witch actually married to?
I don't think she's married to anyone, right? I don't think they're married because he's married to Virginia, technically.
Well, Virginia's...
dead?
Not functional.
Yeah. I guess she's not dead because nobody
Vision Green and Vision Yellow. There you go.
Can't wait for that electric Vision crossover.
Oh, boy.
Drawn by John Bogg.
Oh, boy. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Geek History Lesson. I am Jason ACDC Enman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, will you please close out this visionary podcast?
Class is now dismissed.